Record Collections and Recollections. Out of the Box on FBI Radio.
Hey, Emily Elvish with you on FBI Radio 94.5, streaming online or on the podcast. This is Out of the Box. It's a place where every Thursday from 12 to 1, we dive into one guest record collection and pull out the stories, sounds, and spaces that have shaped their life. Today, my guest and I are broadcasting from Redfern, which is on unceded Gadigal land. I would like to pay my respects to Gadigal elders, past and present, and emerging, and extend that respect to any First Nations person listening in. Out of the Box is a program where we share stories through music. First Nations people have been sharing stories on this country for millennia, and I'm privileged to be doing so today. Wherever you're tuning in from so-called Sydney, this land always was and always will be Aboriginal land. In the studio today, I'm joined by one of Eora's most impactful voices. You may know her from her work as a creative director, dancer, and model, all from the ballroom community as a member of the House of Silky. In these spaces, her work celebrates and empowers the body in all forms. But beyond her own practice, she works tirelessly to shift the narratives and landscapes around her. Her activism for inclusion and representation in the fashion and performance spaces has been so impactful, and I am so excited and privileged to be joined by Basha today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm so good, and I'm so excited to be diving into some of the stories songs you have to share today. Period. Your track list is so incredible.
Thank you, Boo. Thank you. I'm excited. I'm excited to share my music. I'm like, it's weird. I have a funny relationship with music. I love it so much. But you know, when you're surrounded by musicians and musos, you're like, oh, my music is not that fab. But I think it is. I'm starting to appreciate my taste more and more.
You should, because we were just talking off air about how incredible the track list is and how excited we are for it.
Yeah.
I'd love to dive in today and take a look at some of the stories from your earlier life.
Mm-hmm.
What role did movement, performance, and creativity play in your life when you were growing up?
So when I was younger, I really, really young, I would say maybe from the moment I could walk till about, I want to say 10, 11, I would do every type of physical movement possible. Like, I was very much into sports, very much into dancing, very much into movement. I loved dancing. I was great at dancing. I was great at sports. I used to beat everybody at sports, and could just pick up anything really quickly. And then when I hit my teenage years, my confidence really plummeted. So with that, I stopped engaging in a lot of things that I would do before. You know, I didn't really do dancing anymore because somehow it made me have this weird issue, because I had just a lot of body issues, like, growing up, because I grew up in a really white area and I felt very uncomfortable and very unappreciated and not celebrated and looked at like I was a bit different or a bit strange. And I think that impacted my relationship with movement and dance and my body and just wearing what I wanted to wear and being free, essentially. And then when I moved out of home and moved out of the area that I grew up in, I moved to Newtown, and, you know, I was surrounding myself with people who looked a lot more like me, people who felt like me, and pretty much that's kind of how I started delving into, like, expressing myself in the way that I do now, and, you know, surrounding myself with artists and creatives and really absorbing their energy and absorbing their essence and finding that within myself and being able to appreciate myself and appreciate the way my body moved and, you know, being able to start that journey to figuring out what my movement was.
Yeah, of course. And there wasn't like a set point for you.
That's such a strange one, because it wasn't ever a direction that I envisioned myself to go in. Mm. With fashion stuff, I guess it kind of made sense because both my parents had done something before in fashion. So I always had like a connection to like that type of industry. But when it came to movement and dance there is just no way I ever thought that that would be my life. It really just was from me dancing at queer parties and, you know, wearing teeny tiny outfits and dancing and whatever. And then I started doing, you know, ballroom, and then that opened the door for other forms of self-expression for me. And at the same time, you know, with the movement that I do now, that was built upon, you know, different things that were going on in my life that I started to connect towards.
Your first song that you've chosen for us today is by Sierra, and it's Ride.
Oh my God, Ride.
Please tell us about this song.
Oh my goodness. So that one, it just reminds me of when I was younger, like when I was in high school, because I remember seeing that music video and just being absolutely obsessed with it, obsessed with the movement that she did, obsessed with the track itself, obsessed with the looks in the music video. I feel like for me, anytime I just saw a black woman being strong and sexy when I was younger, I felt so deeply drawn to it because I always had just longed for that. And I did long for it my entire teenage years. And when I saw that, I felt like it was more attainable than I thought it was. You know, seeing someone like Sierra, because she's so strong, like her legs were really strong. And in that music video, I just remember being like, oh, she has these strong legs, I have big strong legs, like I can be like her, you know. So that song was very special to me, and I would show it to all my friends at school. I'd be like, you have to watch this video. And I don't know if anyone really absorbed it the way that I did, but I was obsessed with it. And it's become a track that, like, no matter how often it plays, I will always love it. And I've used in a performance that is one of my core performance pieces. It plays at the end, and I just like run into the crowd and give everybody lap dances. So it's just such a fun song for me, and it's definitely like a liberation song for me.
Absolutely. And that era of R&B too, it's such an embodiment of the femme and liberation. And it's so beautiful to hear that you connected with that at that time in
absolutely,
your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh my goodness. Even when Nicki Minaj came out, I just felt so obsessed and relieved to see somebody like her, because, you know, I didn't see thicker black women being like as celebrated as she was at that time when I was that age, when I was in high school. And being able to, you know, even white people were dying for her, and I was like, okay, this makes me feel good, like I'm a thick black woman, like, you know, it made me feel a little bit more seen to see somebody like her. And I definitely know that there are artists throughout history who have existed before her, but I think that was the first time where I was able to see somebody go so mainstream. I could resonate with how she looked.
Catch me in the mall, you know I bought out G5 plane. Yeah, I flyed out on the back, look like Lex sitting on 20.
You're back listening to Out of the Box on FBI 94.5. I'm joined by Barsha today. We've been chatting a little bit about your early life, how you got into movement, and your journey after moving out of home and moving into Newtown and exploring queer spaces. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to learn when you first connected with ballroom. Tell me about that time.
Okay, yes. So essentially, my friend Mel Rhee, who was one of, I guess, the my first linkages to ballroom. She had basically told me, she was like, we should go to Sissy Ball. And this was around 2019. And I didn't really know what it was. And, you know, from that conversation, she's like, we should go to this. And then all of a sudden she's like, we should walk this. And I got introduced to Marasia, who is my house mother, Miri. And, you know, we really connected. And from that, we were like studying videos and looking at, you know, essentially what ballroom was. Miri had already been a part of the ballroom community, but I guess this was my first interaction with it. And basically, yeah, we had just been studying these videos of these femme queens walking. They were doing their LSSs, which is like when they walk out and essentially they're just being celebrated. And, you know, watching categories like face and body and sex siren. And just watching it, I was just like completely drawn to it because, again, this was another thing where people who maybe weren't celebrated when they were younger had a space where they got to be appreciated and got to be themselves and got to feel liberated and got to just be so separate from the society that we had grown up in and the way we had been confined and restricted and told to push down our light and our fire. And I feel like seeing ballroom and the ballroom space, it just empowered me completely. And I don't know, it's such a big part of who I am. And a big part, not just in the way that you see where I'm out walking a ball, but in the way I dress, in the way I move, because I never was out here wearing the things that I wear if I had not been in places like ballroom, or feeling good in my body if it had not been for places like ballroom, or feeling beautiful or feeling sexy. Being in ballroom really just opened up so much of that for me and so much of my own self-appreciation, because seeing other people in that space and how they got to express themselves, it really helped me feel comfortable to do that for the first time in my life.
Yeah, it's incredible to hear you talk about how ballroom is such a part of the way that you feel in your body and your safety that you feel in your body now.
Absolutely.
Who were some of the people that you were looking up to when you first started in ballroom?
So in terms of overseas, like for me, there was a femme queen called Sanaya, and she was the first video that I ever watched of ballroom. And from that moment, I've been obsessed with her and obsessed with ballroom and obsessed with her essence. And I feel like whenever I walk, I want to carry her essence. When it comes to here, obviously people like Benji, who started the ballroom scene here, you know, she's so important to the entirety of this space, because without her, it wouldn't exist. And, you know, she's been able to nurture it and develop it in a beautiful way, and in a way that so many other people coming through are now becoming elders in the community, including myself. I really feel like an elder in this community now, in ways where we can want to continue teaching and passing on and protecting other people that come through in the space. And I think because of her, we all have taken that on. And people like Miri, my house mother, I love Miri so much. Without her, I couldn't have done it. You know, she's looked after me throughout my entire ballroom journey, same as my house father, Xander, my sister, Akashi. Those three as well, like, so important, because they're not just, you know, my ballroom family is not just my ballroom family. It's my family. You know, it's the people who look after me, the people who I want to look after, the people who I experience life with. It's not like, oh, we just go hang out when it's ballroom related. We hang out all the time, and those people are my family, and they're so important to who I am as a person. Yeah.
And super fittingly, the next song that you've chosen,
yes,
is Untouched. Tell us a little bit about this song.
Yes. Yeah, so Untouched by my mother, Marasia, and Kuya Neil, Uncle Neil. for me, Miri's music is a big part of the ballroom scene here, you know, and we have some incredible ballroom DJs like Nisha and Rocky, that, you know, are playing at the balls, and a lot of others that come through. And Miri is one that is pivotal because she was one, the DJ who I heard when I first started ballroom, and, you know, she creates her own tracks, her own ballroom tracks, which we get to play and we get to jam to. So honestly, any Mirasia track is fabulous, but we just chose this one because it's a new one, and why not?
Let's dive in. This is Untouched. You're listening to Out of the Box. This is chosen by Barsha. We'll be back on the other side of this track. You were just listening to Mirasia and Queer Neil with Untouched. This is Out of the Box. My name is Emily Elvish, and I'm here chatting to Barsha. We've been sharing some stories from your life, yes, listening to some songs, and we've been looking to the past a lot. I'd like to take a look at some of the more recent work you've done.
Yes, let's do it.
You were recently involved in The Pyramid, which, if you listening aren't across, was a beautiful strip club takeover of the King's Cross Hotel. Could you please paint us a picture of what those nights were like?
So I created The Pyramid last year, actually. I got given a space during Pride, again, from my friend Melry. And, you know, she said, you know, there's this space that you can use. You just have to create your own thing. And, you know, I was thinking about what I wanted to create and what I was longing for. And I guess I was longing for spaces as a performer, like longing for a space where it was obviously like Black or POC ran, and the performers were Black and POC only, because I feel like as a performer, if you are like, you know, a part of the BIPOC community, there's only like one spot for you or two spots for somebody like you in a lineup. And you know, especially for movements such as like pole and like the type of floor work that you see that's been sensationalized by Black strippers in America, there's part of you that's just like, oh, like, why is there not a space for me when this is connected to someone like me more than other people? And obviously everyone has their own connection to things, and that's all good, but it's like just a thing that happens where there's not a lot of space for us. So I wanted to create something that the whole space was for us. And so I made The Pyramid last year. And last year I wanted it to be about, you know, artists who were not ready to step onto a stage but maybe wanted some, like, guidance, and then we could work towards putting them on stage, or artists who were still fresh and just wanted to try something, or, you know, performers who didn't feel like they were being booked all the time and wanted that space. So that's what I created it for last year. And then, you know, it still had an element of, you know, strip and sex work sort of tied in with it. So we, you know, had the tipping as well. But then this year, the King's Cross Hotel got offered to me by Xander, and I thought, okay, I want to do this event again, but what I want has changed in a way. I still want the foundation to be, obviously, it's for BIPOC, like, performers. I want it to be for queer and trans performers. But I want it to be something that feels a lot more me, and, you know, making it a queer BIPOC strip club was that. And I wanted it to have, you know, allies and workers and all of the above to be a part of it in whatever sense that meant. And essentially, yeah, I created it so that we could be celebrated doing what we do best, like moving and dancing. And, you know, like, I have so many incredible people who I see as performers around me who perhaps don't always get booked for Mardi Gras gigs or don't always get booked for some of the gigs you see around Sydney, because, you know, we're black or POC or whatever, and we're not fitting whatever quota it is that they have, or we're not ticking the right boxes that they want. So I created this because I wanted that. I wanted to open up that space and also open up that space for the people who come through just as audience members, you know, where, you know, there are people who are black and people who are sex workers and people who are queer or people who are trans, like where they can come in and see this happening and feel like that space is for them and they belong there. So I wanted to create that space for that reason. And it was more than I could have even dreamed of. Like, it was so beautiful. And I give so many thanks to the people who helped make that happen, because, you know, I had my beautiful partner, BVT, helping me with everything. The performers that I had are people who I just knew were going to be incredible, because I've either seen them perform or I either know that they just have the most beautiful, sensual, powerful energy. And, you know, some people who performed have never performed before. Some people who performed have performed many a time. And I loved having that type of range in there as well. But everyone performed like they've been performing for years. It was perfect. Like, everyone was beautiful. The crowd, the people who came through were beautiful. They were so generous. They were so caring of everything that was happening. No one was really disrespectful. No one was disrespectful. It was incredible. And I'm beyond grateful and beyond proud of what was created, because, I don't know, like, it just, I feel like, you know, things like that culture that exists overseas where, you know, black and brown bodies get to take up that space with it, it doesn't happen here.
Mm.
And I really wanted that moment for us.
Yeah, it's so interesting you say too that everyone, no matter what, how much experience they'd had, they were performing as if they were experts.
It was insane. It was insane. Like, and everyone was so unique. Like, everyone has their own style, their own essence, their own energy, different music that they wanted to dance to. It was crazy. It was a dream.
Yeah. And I can imagine it must be such a testament to the space and the energy in those moments that people feel so safe and so comfortable to express themselves in that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, the people in the room were just really, really respectful and at the same time really excited and really appreciative of the art that was in front of them. And I think that that was important, because sometimes you can perform or work or whatever it is you do and whoever is watching will give you nothing. And you're like, is this even good? Like, am I doing something wrong? But it's not about you. And when you have spaces where the audience is appreciating your art and what you're doing and cheering and screaming and throwing their stacks, like, you know that you're doing amazing and that you are it.
100%. No? And it's so interesting you mentioned these examples from overseas as well. You penned this really beautiful tribute to the night on your Instagram, and in that you mentioned Magic City.
Oh, yes.
I'd love to learn more about Magic City.
Magic City is a strip club in Atlanta, yes. And we watched a documentary. This also inspired my partner's song, God Bless the Trap. But we watched this documentary on it, and we were watching, and all the people that were interviewed were black women. All the dancers were black women, and, you know, just seeing the different types of black women in that space, and also seeing that it was mainly black women. And even just the reading that I do on strip clubs and the culture and pole, especially because if you engage in pole, like, you must remember where it came from. And obviously there are different accounts of where pole originated from, but the pole dancing that people do today for sport or for fitness came from black women doing this as their jobs in strip clubs, like learning from each other in the club, playing with the tricks and the entertainment that they do. In those clubs over there, they put on a show. They are athletes. And I feel like they get erased because it's not acceptable or palatable. But how can you do pole dancing and not understand where it came from? It came from strip clubs. And, you know, you can't erase that, and it's not fair. And I that's why I'm also so big on, if you are going to have pole dancers, you know, either you have workers or allies, like really fierce, strong allies who are about supporting the community and, you know, about that, not people who try to remove themselves from, you know, the origins of pole. Mm.
Seeing these representations overseas, you were talking about the disparity with the spaces in Eora.
Mm.
What feelings come up for you when you look at those spaces that are currently existing in Sydney?
I think there are a lot of incredible spaces that exist that I love to either perform or just go support because they're incredible. But there is, you know, I guess a feeling that I have where it's still, something still feels missing. And I guess it's because it's different when you're entering a space created by somebody who is like you, but not exactly like you. Like, you know, creating a space for black and brown bodies, it feels, I don't know if this is just how it feels for me personally, but like, if it's the person who's running it is like me, then they will get me. They will get the deeper issues or the deeper triggers or the deeper things that I go through as a performer, as a person. And like, obviously we can't always get each other because no matter what, we're always going to be different in our experiences in life, in whatever, you know, even if we are the same, you know, same gender, or if we're a different gender, or, you know, we come from different backgrounds, we still have our differences. But at the same time, like, I don't know, it's like this universal knowing about how we care for each other. You know, like Bernie and I, we are not from the same background, we are not from the same ancestry, but we understand each other and can understand each other's struggles and fears and pains in a way that unfortunately white people cannot. And I guess it's that, and feeling like you are seen and heard in that way. And I feel that, you know, with certain spaces, somebody who is very much somebody I look up to with the way they operate and the way they move is Kelly Love Monster. You know, they created Leaker and Nudes, and they also are a part of All Day Queer Dance, and, you know, curate a lot of other things that happen throughout the year. And the way they operate is always about bringing black people and POC people to the forefront, pushing them up, raising them up, and helping elevate them. And I think that's also what I want. And that's maybe why I feel like it's different, because the core of what I want to create is about doing that. Mm-hmm. And perhaps when other things are being created, it's not always about doing that. It's about obviously creating an entire night itself, but it's what are you doing when you're bringing somebody of color into your space? Like, do you want to elevate them, or are they just there to tick your box? Mm. You know? And I think that's something that I can feel a difference in when I'm in certain spaces.
Yeah. I would love to dive into your next song that you've brought with us today. This is by Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Can I tell you the backstory?
Yes, please.
It's so important. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this backstory. This song, I love this song so much, but it's just become even more of a pivotal song, especially in mine and Bernie's relationship. Because what happened was we were outside our old place in Newtown, and basically I was trying to take photos, like hot photos in the street, and we got harassed by some guy, and it turned into a whole thing, like had to call the police. He was awful, awful, awful. Bernie and I just ended up driving around to just calm ourselves down and blow some steam. And, you know, we saw him. We saw his van, and it was right in front of us. We were driving. He had driven in front of us. And Bernie and I, like, we were also dressed in all black. We put on this song, and we're like, we're going to fuck this guy up. We didn't end up doing it, but we were like plotting and scheming. We're like, we need to ruin this man's life. Like, how dare he? So we're just driving around behind him, listening to Mad City, ready to just like be G's, like get our gangster on. But yeah, anyway, that's the backstory for it. It's our ultimate G song.
This is Kendrick Lamar with Mad City. You're listening to Out of the Box on FBI 94.5, and this one comes with a language warning.
If Pyros and Crips all got along, they probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, yak, yak.
You're listening to Out of the Box on FBI 94.5. You just heard Kendrick Lamar with Mad City. That was chosen by Barsha, my guest, on Out of the Box today. I would love to take a moment to look at your work in the fashion space, Barsha. Mm-hmm. But on a more granular level, what makes an outfit for you?
That is so funny. Oh my goodness. Literally, I don't know, because sometimes it could be multiple things, multiple layers, colors, patterns, and sometimes it can be absolutely nothing. Like literally the teeniest, tiniest bit of fabric covering the teeniest area of my body. What makes an outfit for me? Honestly, it's not about the outfit. It's the person who wears it. Mm. Like, you know, I say this to a lot of my dance students all the time, about wearing things to the studio, like as a test run for if they want to wear it out. Because I guess people feel so afraid to wear certain things out because of just programming and, you know, whatnot in society. But for me, I'm just like, whatever you want, as long as you feel good in it.
You've worked as a model, but you've also worked in casting before.
Yes.
And representing community in that way is such a significant responsibility. Mm. What's your process for taking on this kind of work?
So this one was, again, like everything that I do, it just manifests on its own, and it's never what I had planned, but it happens and it makes sense and it works for me, and it's something that feels so natural to me. So my process for casting absolutely was about making sure community was there and making sure that, you know, representation was there and that, you know, it wasn't what we're seeing all the time, and, you know, that different bodies were there and different backgrounds were there and people from different ancestries and people who represented different things and people who were a part of different industries, you know, different art forms, you know, seeing artists walking and people who dance and people who, you know, sing and people who just are incredible at walking, you know, people who are part of ballroom who are just already, I know, completely fabulous. It was about just having those types of people in there, because I see this magic around me all the time, but that magic doesn't get to be a part of the fashion industry. And I wanted it to be, and, you know, it can be, it has been in ways, but like that was what I was feeling and what I wanted it to be. You know, I'm like, I know so many incredible people, and wasn't seeing that on runways, and not about, it's not like taking away from anyone who's walked a runway, but I'm like, why not?
Mm.
These people are amazing and they will bring something crazy to your shows. So that was my process, just about looking around, about literally looking at the people around me and being like, yes, you're amazing. You should be in a fashion show, you
100%. And I feel like even just from an artistic lens, ballroom would hold so much power in the fashion space as well.
100%, you know, like the things that we do in ballroom, not even just, we have a category that's dedicated to runway, and you know, people are always turning out the most incredible looks, and it's not always about being able to buy from somebody expensive or use a designer that's expensive. You know, we use from local designers, and they, you know, lend their garments to those looks, or people will create things, you know, for the look, or get them created that are completely their own original ideas, or collaborations between a designer and, you know, somebody who's walking, and it's this beautiful outfit. So it's like it creates its own fashion culture ballroom.
I would love to dive into your next song that you brought. This is by Little Sims, I See You.
Oh my God, I have to tell you this backstory.
Yes, please. Please.
This is not that crazy. It's just it's just nostalgic, because this is a song that just reminds me of when BVT and I were first dating. And every morning when we'd go into the shower, we'd play music. We just shuffle it. And I think it was on Spotify, actually, because I don't have Spotify. And she has Spotify, and so we just play random songs. And this song came on while we were in the shower and as we were walking out, and we just started slow dancing to it in her room. And it's just one of those songs that I connect to our love.
Would you take me as I am? Overlook all my mistakes. Don't correct me when I'm wrong, humble.
You're listening to Out of the Box on FBI 94.5. My name's Emily Elvish. I'm joined by Barsha today. On the show, we've been diving into all the stories from your life.
Yeah.
We've been listening to some amazing music.
Yeah.
And I'd love to know what goals you have your eye on this year. What's on the horizon?
Definitely, first and foremost, would love to do another pyramid. I want to make it like twice a year type thing, you know, really have you craving it and excited for when it comes. So that's something I really want to work towards. I want to just work towards more creating, like more performances, elevating my performances, giving more story and meaning to them. Be surrounded by community and be with my friends and dance and feel liberated and fight more and, you know, tap more into my rage and, you know, like let that seep through and help other people tap into their rage and want to, you know, look after each other and the world. And I know it sounds so crazy and wild and deep, and but it is, everything is deep, everything is so deep, and I want everything that I do to have purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've mentioned this desire to like express rage in these ways.
Oh my God, yes.
And to support yourself and to support others. How do you prioritize letting yourself feel those things?
It's hard. Like, this is something I'm still working on. There's so much to be angry about and so much to be annoyed and frustrated about, and I think, you know, I don't want to not honor that. And I think so many of us are told not to honor it because it's scary, you know, because if, you know, we are angry, it's terrifying and it's bad and it's, you know, evil, and we have so much to be angry about. And if we don't honor it, we're going to lose our fucking minds. I'm so sorry. Language warning. There's a language warning on this. We're going to lose our minds. And so for me, I really want to learn to, I want to express it on a day-to-day when I feel it, obviously, but I also want to put it in my performances. I created this one performance recently that's purely about rage, and I scream in it and I thrash my head around and I stomp and I clack my heels, and these are all things that help me channel that rage and allow it to pour through me. And I really want this particular performance, I scream at the end of it, and it's my dream to have everyone who watches it scream with me. So yeah, just being able to allow for that, and in healthy ways, obviously, you know, don't go out here hurting anyone, but if you need to scream, scream. If you need to vent, vent. You know, talk to people that you feel safe with. You know, rage with people that you feel safe with. Thrash your head and scream in your room if you need to. But also stand up for people who can't stand up for themselves, and be fearless in that. You know, I think one thing is, like, we need to stop being so afraid of everything, myself included, because our fear is what is killing us, killing us. We need to, you know, stop being afraid of what other people think of our rage and what other people think of how we express ourselves and what we want for this world, because it's literally going to kill us. So we need to stop being afraid and start raging.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Basha. It's been such an honor and a beautiful way to wrap this up. You've said that this song in particular has been a bit of an all-time favorite for you. This is J Dilla, D'Angelo, and Common with So Far To Go.
Yes.
How long have you been spinning this track for?
Oh my God, for so, so long. Like, I have one of the lyrics from my song tattooed on my leg.
Oh my God.
It's my favorite song of all time, and it will play at every monumental occasion in my life. It will play at my wedding. It will play at my funeral. It will play at my next birthday. Everything. Like, it is such a special song to me, just because of the lyrics and because of what it says, and because of the time that I heard it was a time where I was learning to love myself and the way I looked, and, you know, moving through heartbreaks and listening to this song and remembering that I am, you know, deserving of love and deserving of care. Literally, if you ever want to know what my all-time favorite song is, this is the song. Without a doubt, this is the song.